All quiet at the Korean DMZ on Monday morning. South Korea has halted the propaganda broadcasts it blares across the border to North Korea ahead of an historic planned summit between the two sides set for this Friday. It's the first time in more than 2 years the 24/7 mix of news, South Korean pop music and criticism of the North Korean regime has stopped.
In Saudi Arabia, many jobs are now off limits to foreigners. In the last month, car rental shops were told they could only employ Saudi citizens. One employee says it's simple. Saudis don't want to work for the low salaries on offer. So-called Saudization has been taking hold for years. Pressure to hire more Saudi workers is being felt across all sectors. It's part of Vision 2030, the government's plan to wean its economy off oil exports and reduce unemployment, currently 12.8%.
Bracing for a deluge of earnings in the world's biggest companies led to a somewhat tense start to the week for investors, with Asian stocks falling and Europe starting with a stumble. It all added to the pressure of the 10-year US Treasury yields at their highest level since January 2014, partly thanks to oil prices increasing inflationary pressures. As those risks fade for now, tech firms are stepping into the spotlight. Facebook, Amazon and Alphabet, part of the so-called FANG group of stocks, all reporting results this week.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It is April 24th. We're happy you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. Today on the broadcast, we're going to be talking about the latest incident at Starbucks. You may recall two black men were arrested for just sitting and having coffee. Starbucks' reaction and its impact on race relations coming up just shortly here in our first segment this morning. And in our second segment this morning, we're going to be talking about a labor pool that not a lot of people go to find potentially qualified workforce. That is the pool of ex-convicts that's out there. We'll talk about hiring ex-cons in our second segment this morning here on The Opening Bell. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Asian shares mostly higher today as a surge in U.S. bond yields pushed the value of the dollar higher against other major currencies. On Wall Street yesterday, shares yielded early gains and ended nearly unchanged. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note drew close to 3%, a milestone it hasn't reached since January of 2014. Dow futures are up 107 points this morning. NASDAQ futures are up 36. The S&P futures are up 12 points this morning. Around the globe, markets in Europe are generally mixed, with the London index higher by about a third. The same situation in Germany and France, markets are lower this morning. The rest of the Asian markets are positive in China and in the rest of Asia. The Nikkei up 190 points, the Hang Seng up 381 points. The Shanghai's up almost 2% this morning, 60.92. And oil is trading at $69 a barrel, which is up about 36 cents. Couple of stories we're watching for you this morning. Donald Trump's escalating dispute with China over trade and technology is threatening jobs and profits in working class communities where his America First agenda hit home with voters. The Commerce Department has received more than 2,400 applications from companies seeking waivers from the Trump administration's tariffs on steel and aluminum imports that may result in millions of dollars in duties. The department has begun posting the request online for a public comment period. The tariffs are aimed primarily at China for flooding the global market with cheap and aluminum steel. A U.S. appeals court yesterday favored humans over animals in a novel copyright lawsuit over a series of entertainment selfies taken by a monkey with a toothy grin. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that U.S. copyright law does not allow lawsuits that seek to give animals the rights to photographs or their original work. The court said copyright infringement can only be claimed on behalf of humans. It is possible that this court case will go even higher, perhaps even to the Supreme Court with further appeals. Front and center this morning, we begin with Starbucks. Starbucks is closing all of its restaurants on May 29th for an event that they're billing as in-house racial sensitivity training. More than 8,000 stores will close across the country after police arrested two black men at a Philadelphia location on April 12th for what appears to be just sitting and waiting for a friend to have coffee. We're going to talk about that this morning. Doug Harris is the CEO of Kaleidoscope, the Kaleidoscope Group in Chicago, and is with us on the opening bell. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. You have a lot of experience in this area, 25 years of experience in diversity and inclusion, consulting. As you look at the Starbucks case, what are you seeing here that concerns you?
Well, I mean, I think it not only concerns me, it's concerning in the world when people are stereotyped and treated in an unfair way. And so we all have things that might be in our minds and how we might see people. But when we overreact to the place of what took place in Starbucks, it's a sad situation. And what concerns me is that it doesn't happen for everyone. And because of our instincts or biases, this type of behavior is normally targeted towards those who are African-American or sometimes seen as being what might be considered a shady character. So, you know, my hope for this situation is that there's a learning. And again, the way the Starbucks follows up on it is sincere, not only through the training, but hopefully in an accountable way to make sure this does not happen again.
Mm-hmm. As we see the response of Starbucks, it seemed to be immediate. I don't know how you would judge its plans, certainly from a communication standpoint and specifically sort of an emergency communication standpoint. They were out front of it almost immediately, taking blame for it and trying to do better. Do they get points for that?
They do. They do. I think we all make mistakes, and what's even worse than our mistake many times is how we respond to it. I think many times we defend what we've done and we start to make excuses instead of saying, hey, look, we were wrong. We did not want that to happen, but it did. And here's what we're going to do. And we're not only going to do it just for that person, but we're going to do it for our entire institution. So I think that is a great sign. I think people will really feel the response, though, over time. So your initial response is very important. And I think, you know, like you said, they do get points for that. Now they have to sustain that, have the training, create accountability around it, policies, processes to make sure, again, this does not happen again, Steve.
I'm hearing from you that it sounds like perhaps one day of training is not going to be the solution to this. That, again, using Starbucks as the example, this is something that's going to have to take place over days, perhaps even months or years.
It will. I think training is good, though. People will say, well, look, training is bad. It's not the right response. I believe we live in a world with good people, and things like this happen. And sometimes it happens. They really, when it takes place, they believe they're right. Whoever that was at Starbucks thought these individuals were like, uh-oh, we need to watch out for them. Let me call the cops. So there's something in their mind. So now we got to discuss, talk about that, how those types of assumptions are unequally put out there in the world and affect certain populations more than others. But then once you get that understanding, you have to back that up with saying, hey, look, here's a policy, here's a process. And hopefully people see the value that this is not just about behaviors, but it's a strong business impact, and they're feeling that as well based on the committed response for those who felt this was the wrong thing to do, which I totally agree.
Doug, hang on with us. When we come back, I want to talk to you more about your experience with this sort of training and how maybe some lessons for all of us here this morning as we continue again with Doug Harris, the CEO of the Kaleidoscope Group in Chicago, talking about the situation with Starbucks, but more broadly, this racial bias that is really affecting all of us.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, stock futures are up, indicating markets may bounce back from a mostly flat session Monday, in which the Dow continued a losing streak for the fourth day. Tech shares were hammered, dropping 0.4%. Google, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, all closing lower. Investors are jittery over rising interest rates. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note approached 3% yesterday, a milestone it has not reached in more than 4 years. U.S. crude rose to just below $69 a barrel. The dollar rose against the yen and the euro. After a rough 2017, the head of United Airlines says he's skipping his annual bonus. Last year, a doctor was dragged off a United Airlines plane to make room for United crew members. 3 weeks after going public, Spotify is ready to talk about the future. At an event today, the streaming music service is promising to lay out what's next for its mobile app, and there are reports it plans to jump into the smart speaker market. Mono Rivera, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with Doug Harris, the CEO of the Kaleidoscope Group in Chicago. Doug, Starbucks says this event on May 29th will focus on implicit bias and conscious inclusion. What are those things, and how will you think the seminar is going to go for the employees?
I think the seminar will go well. I hope that the seminar talks a lot about behavior, but also talks about the value and the business impact as well. Many times when we go into training, we look at it from a legal correction standpoint versus looking at it from a growth standpoint and be just becoming better employees and better people as we learn how to respect differences. So I have a good feeling about the training. But at the same time, hopefully we get, as you mentioned before the break, a good learning from these scenarios. But I think one of the things that stands out, Steve, is when these incidents take place, the impact of them are often historical, while at the same time we assess it as an individual incident. So these things are taking place so frequently that people will say, man, here we go again. While others are looking like, well, all that happened was this and all that happened was that. And I think your question before break, that's the learning that we have to take from these scenarios, is the consistency in which these type of things take place. And hopefully the learning will give insights that can lead people to, again, do things differently and get a better understanding of the world.
You have these conversations regularly with Fortune 500 organizations. You do this kind of training, especially with business leaders. What can you tell us this morning that would better us as we head into the office so that we could be less of what we saw in Philadelphia?
Yeah, great question, Steve. I think we're all human, and so mistakes take place. So one of the things to learn from this is to respond by way of understanding and not feeling a sense of defense or guilt through the scenario. And Starbucks did great around that. We can all do something that somebody receives in a way differently than you. It might not be to the extreme of the Starbucks scenario, but respond in an understanding way. And then once you understand it, understand the impact it has on people. So don't just not do it again, but understand, have that conversation. Why did that upset you so much? What was so painful around that? We look at the issues of people through our lens versus looking at the issues through their lens. And African Americans for years, as the key target of this scenario, have experienced these things. And when you understand impact, again, hopefully it will learn to a change behavior. And don't back away. In our society, once a mistake happens, it's like, uh-oh, I'm not going to spend any time around those people. They're so sensitive. No, don't back away. Just get a learning, grow yourself, and then hopefully move on in a more respectful manner.
Does that also cover boycotting? I know there have been calls for people to boycott Starbucks. It seems to me that we could all maybe go there and help with them in this effort.
Yeah, I think sometimes boycott is important because people don't realize the seriousness until it impacts something that's important to them. So I believe boycott is a proper response. I'm not a big boycotter, but at the same time, when things are not right, you got to let people know it. And I think boycott is a peaceful way to get that done. At the same time, I'm hoping that they respond in a way that shows their seriousness, learn from it, and, you know, can bring their customers back. They're not the first one that has dealt with these kind of situations. Hopefully they're sincere in their efforts and will make some changes. One other thing I'll mention real quick too, Steve, is that it's important that you have a diverse organization, because when you have diverse employees, they can help you respond in ways because of their understanding of the group. So another African-American, I don't know who was in the store, would probably say, hey, these people aren't scary. But if everyone in there is from a similar background with a similar view, that's what leads to some of these items, because the different perspectives of the world are not represented in your organization.
Doug, lots to think about. We appreciate you being with us this morning to share that with us here in the Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. And if you need anything else, please let me know, Steve.
Wonderful. We'd love to have you back. Doug Harris this morning, the CEO of the Kaleidoscope Group in Chicago. You can find out more about Doug and his colleagues at kgdiversity.com and follow them on Twitter as well at kgdiversity.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by chicagoinno.com. Reddit announced that it's opening its first Chicago office. The social media company said it plans to have 9 employees by the end of the year who will be focused on building Reddit's advertising platform. The company said it chose Chicago in order to get closer to the brands that advertise on the social media site. Chicago-based Boeing announced it's invested in Morph 3D, a California 3D printing startup. Since 2015, Morph 3D has produced 3D-printed titanium and aluminum components for Boeing's satellites and helicopters. And Bevy is a new Chicago startup that lets users rent things like camping gear, grilling equipment, games, and an Oculus Rift, allowing people to pay just a fraction of what it would cost to own those items. A 6-day Oculus rental, for example, costs just $85. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program, and thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Here are some statistics for you. The U.S. unemployment rate is about 4%. There are 6 million jobs somewhere around there unfilled right now in the country. It's a tight labor market. And an estimated 73.5 million Americans have an arrest record that makes it hard and sometimes impossible to get a job. What to do? Several states have started moving forward on this. California, for example, is working on a series of bills now that would make it easier for companies to hire ex-cons in several different areas. In Iowa, a similar effort is underway. Lisa Bertagnoli is with us this morning. She's the nonprofits reporter at Crane Chicago Business, and she's been writing about this. Lisa, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Oh, good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. This is a fascinating topic, and one of your recent stories, you write about how it used to be the right thing to do to hire ex-cons, and now it's really the smart thing to do. What do you mean by that?
Well, companies used to work with nonprofits to, and a lot of nonprofits have training programs for people who have done time, returning citizens, they're called in the business. And, you know, hire a few a year, give them a second chance, and now they're looking at them as a way to fill what is a very serious labor need and really hitting up the nonprofits to even create custom training programs in order to create pipelines for workers. One company I mentioned in the article is Eurest, which is a big food service company that does business in Chicago. And they hire 1,000 people, or they have 1,000 people working in Chicago, and they always need entry-level workers. So they're working with a company to create with a nonprofit to create a custom program to train people in culinary skills so they know where to go when they need workers.
How is that working out for them? Because I think people just generally assume that if you have a record, a criminal record, that you're going to somehow be a shady employee. What's the experience proving out?
The experience is proving out that people who are given this second chance actually show much more loyalty and devotion to the company that did give them the second chance. The retention rate overall is 72%, which is a little bit higher than the normative population. So if you do give people a chance, it generally does work out.
There are some other benefits to this as well. You attack not only that unfilled job, but also the demographics of this make it good for some communities.
Exactly. Overwhelmingly, the population of returning citizens is black and brown men. So you do manage to fill that diversity problem as well.
Some people have suggested that perhaps we take out that line on every job application that says, have you ever been convicted of a felony? Some states seem to be moving in that direction. Would that help solve this problem?
I think it would. It's a two-part solution to the problem. It's called Ban the Box, and it's a national initiative that was started during the Obama administration. And Illinois actually passed Ban the Box legislation in 2014. But it's the misconception is that you can never, ever ask someone if they were convicted of a crime, and that's not true. What you do have to do is vet the person's qualifications first and then ask them about their history. So you can't automatically say, no, oh, you did 6 months in Cook County Jail, forget it, you're not going to work here. You have to see if they're qualified first and then ask. So a guy from the Society of Human Resource Management told me it's a whole new way of thinking from an HR perspective, too. You have to consider on an individual basis each person, not just lump everybody into an unemployable category.
You mentioned that there are nonprofits working on this. Who are the leading nonprofits that are helping in this area?
Safer Foundation in Chicago. Actually, last year they got a huge, almost $5 million Department of Labor grant to do exactly this. CARA in Chicago is a big one. Jane Addams Resource Corporation in Chicago is a big one. They train CNC machinists, and a gentleman I interviewed for the story who had a little bit of a criminal past actually ended up at a giant global manufacturer as a machinist because of Jane Addams' program.
You mentioned the employer that is sort of leading the way in this, that's mentioned in your story. Are there other companies that have decided to take these reins and move forward on their own?
You know, that's interesting. There are quite a few. Whether they want to go public with it is another story. I wanted to talk to a huge global manufacturer, and their headquarters said, no, it's too sensitive a topic to talk about. So we know it's out there, it's going on, which is great, and the next step will be big companies talking about it, because once people start talking about it, it becomes a more accepted and normal thing. Yeah, everybody's doing it. What's the problem kind of thing?
Because I guess one of the other parts of this is, you know, you talk about whether or not people are stereotyped into when they acknowledge that they have a criminal record about being a criminal, but there is a really good possibility that they have the job skills necessary for these positions.
Yes, yes. In fact, the gentleman I talked to, he had been trained in IT before the person I interviewed for the story, he had been trained in IT before he had his brush with the law. He had a great set of skills. He didn't think he'd have a problem. And he told me, this didn't end up in the story, that he worked for a company for 3 months. During the interview, he laid it on the table. This is what happened. I've done my time, ready to move on. Guy said, it's not going to be a problem. 3 months later, they came to him on the job site and said, you're out of here. Your background check came on. So that's just not fair. That's just not fair. But he did, yes, a lot of people do have skills.
From a legislative standpoint, I'm wondering what more could be done. I mentioned in the opening here that California was moving in this area. What they're doing is they're going to allow more emergency service workers and caregivers who are ex-cons to be able to be hired, taking away part of the licensing provision that, I guess, denies those licenses for people who've been convicted. That seems to be one area. Are there other legislative remedies?
Not that I know of. My sense from the story is it should be a company up thing too. Companies should start to demand, we need these workers. We really, really need to find people to work, or else this great economic expansion we've been on is going to slow. And maybe that bottom up type thing will help force legislative issues that need to be taken care of.
Lisa, in your reporting on all of this, if somebody's out there listening and they're one of those folks that has a criminal record and they want to get into the job force, what would your recommendation be to them on how to proceed?
My recommendation would be find a nonprofit that trains and provides services you need to reintegrate into the workforce. And the three I mentioned in the story are Safer Foundation in Chicago, CARA, that's C-A-R-A, and Jane Addams Resource Corporation. They're all easily accessible online, and they all have a lot of programs and help for people who want to return to the workforce.
Good information. I have a feeling, too, is the labor pool the labor market continues to tighten. We'll probably be hearing more about this.
I think so.
All right. Lisa, thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. It's fun.
Lisa Bertagnoli is the nonprofits reporter at Crane Chicago Business. We're going to link out to her stories on this this morning in the podcast of The Opening Bell a little later this morning at WGNRadio.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, it looks like a pretty strong opening to the day on Wall Street if things hold. Dow futures up 140 points. NASDAQ futures are up 47. S&P futures are up about 15 points. Now let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Not much change in that weekly crop progress report issued yesterday afternoon. 5% of the nation's corn crop had been planted as of Sunday night. That's a little below expectations. And in the three eyes, Illinois, 4% planted, and 1% planted in Indiana, and not enough to even make a dent in Iowa. And as far as soybean planting is concerned, hardly underway, 2% of the nation's soybean acres planted. Winter wheat conditions, no change from a week ago. 31% of the winter wheat crop rated good to excellent. Oklahoma, only 8%, and Kansas, our number one wheat state, 12% rated good to excellent. Taking a look at the grain market yesterday, wheat futures mixed on the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn futures closed higher, and soybean futures fell for a third straight session. Livestock futures, we did see live cattle futures climbing yesterday in response to higher cash cattle prices late last week and rising beef prices. Supplies of cattle remain large, but demand for market-ready stock likely to remain strong due to profitable packer margins and milder weather that would bring a start to the outdoor grilling season. April live cattle futures up $2.37 yesterday in the trade. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of other stories before you leave you. We leave you this morning. The government's Highway Safety Agency is expanding three investigations for brake and airbag troubles that could affect 2.3 million vehicles from Ford, Volkswagen, and Nissan. The expansions by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration were announced yesterday and over the weekend on the agency's website after investigators found more consumer complaints about the problems. Ford Fusion, Mercury Milan, Lincoln MKZ has been included in this. Eight Volkswagen models as well. The Nissan Murano is also involved in these expanded investigations. The federal government cannot delay plans to more than double penalties automakers pay when they fail to meet fuel economy standards. That's according to an appeals court. A ruling came yesterday. It sided with five states who brought a lawsuit. The Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Manhattan agreed with a lawsuit brought by California, Maryland, New York, Pennsylvania, and Vermont, along with several environmental groups which were seeking to have the new rule about penalties enforced. The court said in a written opinion explaining its reasoning would be issued later. The Department of Justice hasn't commented yet. Different classes of vehicles must achieve certain miles per gallon standards, which initially were aimed at reducing the nation's oil consumption. Manufacturers of vehicles that fall below their minimum standards are penalized. Now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, April the 24th, we'll get the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Home Price Index today, along with the FHFA House Price Index, a new report on home sales coming today. The report on consumer confidence also out. A big day for earnings with Caterpillar, one of the Illinois companies, expected to report today. Some of the others expected are Cyber Optics, First Commonwealth Financial, Huntington Bank Shares, Hitachi, Harley-Davidson. Lots of earnings happening today before and after the bell. After the bell, Coca-Cola, Lockheed Martin, JetBlue Airways as well. For today, some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, April the 24th.